Haman has decided he's going to destroy, Chas v'Shalom, the whole Jewish people, and he's going to talk the king now into his plan. From this speech, Chazal derived that no one knew bad Lishna Bisha, like the true art of Lashon Hara, how to really get somebody to think badly about someone else more than Haman. Vayomer Haman l'melech Achashverosh, Yeshnai Am Echad. Now notice how Haman does not mention the Jews here. There's memes a debate whether Achashverosh knew that Haman was intending to destroy the Jews per se. The Vilna Gaon is going along the derech that Achashverosh Bemis did not know. So Haman is just saying, and why did Haman mask the name of the nation? Because you never know. For all I know, Achashverosh loves Mordechai and he loves Jews. Even if it's clear that Achashverosh Bemis doesn't like the Jews because he doesn't allow them to build the base of Mikdash, but maybe he likes Mordechai. He's already shown favoritism to Mordechai, he's allowed him to be in the Shar Melech. So Haman doesn't want to take chances. He doesn't mention that it's the Jews he's after. They are mefuzar u'mefoyer bein lamim. Literally it means they're scattered about amongst all the nations. B'chol medinas malchus sefa. In Achashverosh, don't think that I'm going to put a bald spot in your malchus. I'm going to wipe out a whole concentrated nation, which would make you look bad. No, they're all spread about. Chazal, however, understand from here also that there was a tremendous lack of achdus amongst the Jewish people at this time. One of the things that contributed to their low spiritual stature. And that's why, one of the reasons why we have the mitzvahs of Mishloach Manos and Matanos Lev Yoinim on Purim. These are going to help rectify that pirud amongst the Jewish nation. And instead, it's going to promote harmony and concern for our fellow Jews. B'dasem shoynes mikol am yestasem elchein amaisen. They have different laws from other people. They don't keep the king's laws. That wasn't really true, but he's making it up. He said they always have excuses. They can't pay taxes. They can't do service because it's Shabbos today. This, they always have excuses not to do fulfill the laws of the land. There's no, it's not kedai for the king to keep them around anymore. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm suggesting if it's good for the king, you cause it loud them, write up an order to have them exterminated. Ah, you'll ask. Haman knew Achashverosh and his money, you know. So, wait a minute, I'm going to lose all these taxes? No problem. I said it's a law from Kikar Kesef. 10,000 talents of silver, which I saw, according to one cheshbon, is about 700 tons of silver. Or 700. This is a lot. Enough money, chvesa, you know, to cover all their taxes for years and years. Haman was filthy rich, and by the way, that's going to become an important nakuda later. I'll personally underwrite to provide all the tax money you think you're losing from them. So he took off his ring. Chazal comment on here that this act of Achashverosh is giving over his ring to Haman, empowering him to destroy the Jews, had more of an effect than 48 Nevi'im and 7 Nevi'ois who tried to get Klai Yisrael to do tshuva over the years. Haman who was the Tzoyer HaYehudim, why is he called Tzoyer HaYehudim? Because he's dafka masking from Achashverosh, he's not telling him that he has the Jews in mind. So as far as we're concerned, Achashverosh is not doing an act here of anti-Semitism, but Haman, make no mistake about it, is. He's the Tzoyer HaYehudim. Vayomer Melech l'Haman hakesef nasumach ben Michael, keep the money. He loved Haman. Haman, you can do whatever you want. And you want to destroy them, that's fine. And even though you didn't tell me how you wanted to destroy them, that's also fine. L'asois boi katoi beinecha, you choose whatever method you want. V'yikoru soifri ha-melech, v'chaydesh harishon mishloisha suyayin boi. So in the month of Nisan, this is now the 13th day of Nisan, v'yikosev koch asher tzivo haman, el-chashtapne ha-melech v'apachos asher medino medino. He's writing here, he's sending out messages to all of the local governors and the mayors, those are the Achashtarpanim and the Pachos, Telsorian Va'om, all the ministers, Medino Medino Kichsava, Va'am Va'am Kolshono, according to their script and language, Mishem HaMelech HaChashverosh, Nichtav Nechta Metabas HaMelech. He sent out a royal edict in the name of the king and signed and sealed with his ring that Achashverosh provided him with. Now you're going to see that there are two versions of this decree. This is the first version which he's sending to the officials. He's sending them by the couriers, that means the messengers who ran by foot to deliver messages on behalf of the king. What is the message they want to tell all the ministers? Lahashmid, Laharoig, Ula Abed. It's called Yehudim, Minar Vad Zokain, Tafin Noshim, B'yay Mechad, B'shloisha Sar L'chodesh Nemasar, L'chodesh Ador, Shlolem Lovayz. Haman's decree involves four things. L'hashmid, L'aroig U'la'abed, and Shlolem Lovayz. L'hashmid, let's discuss what the difference of these terms are. L'hashmid means, we know that the term Shmad is a gzeira on the ruchnius of Klal Yisrael, which means Haman was not intent on only destroying their bodies, he was geizer on mitzvahs. That's why we're going to see a pasuk later on, Laihudim, Haisaida, Vesimcha, Vesasvikar, Chazal Darshan, Oira Zutaira, Sasan Zumila, Yikar Tfilin. Haman had been geizer on those mitzvahs, so after he was gotten rid of, we had those back. Laroig is Kipshuto murder. That would be the end of the lives of the Jews. Ula Abed means he wanted to destroy their bodies physically. He wanted to cremate their bodies. And Shlomo Lavoy's plunder all of their possessions, all of their property, because Haman did not want a zecher of any Jew left over in this world. How is it going to be possible to accomplish all this in one day? Doesn't that need some logistics, you know? So over the next 11 months from this time, from Nisan, this is the 13th of Nisan, 11 months later is the 13th of Adar, the Goyim are mamish going into rehearsals. They're practicing with guns and archery and whatnot, and they're carefully tracking all of the whereabouts of every Jew, what he does from the beginning of the day till the end of the day. They have lists, not pasha, they're going to chas v'shalom. If they're successful, they're going to be able to pinpoint every single Jew and kill him on mamish on one day. Keneged these four things that Haman wanted to do, we have four aspects of Purim keneged that. Keneged the fact that he wanted to destroy Ruchnius and take away mitzvahs, we have a brand new mitzvah that applies to Purim, the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah. Keneged Laharoig, that which he wanted to kill our bodies, so our ruach, and our ruach is rooted in the heart, we have a mitzvah of simcha. Keneged la'abed, which means to destroy their bodies, so what do? We have a mitzvah of mishten. We are mephonic the bodies. And keneged ushlom lavoyz, they wanted to destroy our money, so we have mitzvahs of mishloach manos and matanos levyayinim, which involve money. You, Haman, didn't want to make you want to make sure you eradicated every zecher of every Jew. Now there's going to be even more of a zecher of Jews as you see across the streets the costume kids going back and forth delivering mishloach manos and money transferring hands back and forth. There's definitely going to be more of a zecher. Mida keneged mida. Now, that was the message sent to the ministers. But Haman sent an entirely different message to the Hamoinam. Pashegin Aksov Linosin Dos Bechom Medino Medino Golu Lecholamim. The text of the message for the law, which would be publicized to all the nations, is simply Liyos Hasidim LaYom Hazeh, be prepared for the 13th of Adar. Why did Haman do that? He didn't want the Jews to know about it. He was so devious. He wanted the Jews to be in the dark about their own impending destruction. He wanted the 13th of Adar to come, and they would be taken by surprise. That didn't work, as Baruch Hashem, as we'll see, but that was Haman's plans. You'll be told when the time comes, on the 13th of Adar, what action to take. But until then, just be prepared. You know, get up to the sheik in that day and make sure and be ready as a soldier. Okay, I'm ready to do whatever the king orders. Harotzim yatsu dechufim bedvar ha-melech. They went out like meshugayim, quickly. This was a gevaldik nes. You know why? Later on, Baruch Hashem, there's going to be a retraction. Mordechai, who takes over Haman's position, is going to send out messages about that retraction. He's going to send Dafka the same messengers. The minute the first messengers get back, Mordechai is going to say, welcome back, boys. And go out quickly, right now, immediately. Go out and send to the second batch of messages. Why? Because if Mordechai had to send out different messengers, so the Goyim are going to be lamdanim. They're going to say, we have a principle, Shrei Neged Shrei. The first message says we have to destroy the Jews. The second message says something else. Who says we believe the second ones more than the first ones? Well, be machmen, listen to the first ones instead. But now that Mordechai, that's why they had to be sent out quickly, so that they'll return quickly, so that Mordechai will be able to send out immediately the moment they come back. That way will be alumnus of HaPesha Asar HaPesha Hitir, since it's the same messengers who are now delivering the retraction. HaKarcha is not triggered. You're going to have to listen. You're going to have to realize that the king Taka changed his mind. You have to listen to the second one. So Ratzim Yotzu Dechufim Medvar HaMelech Vados Nitna B'Shushan Abira. The law was first given over Shushan, because that's where the first stop when the messengers went out. VaMelech VaAmon Yoshvu Lishtais. After they made this gezeira of eradication, of genocide, what do? You see, what Jews do when they go out and fight their battles, they fast. Goyim, what do? They drink and party. Shushan Nevoicha. Nevoicha means that they were confused, because they only saw the message about be ready on the 13th day. They had no idea what was going on. So, they were confused. They didn't know exactly what the nature of the decree was. Now, as we'll see in the next parak, we're going to say over a medrash now. We'll start the next parak next week. Mordechai knows about the whole gzeira. Very briefly, what the medrash says to explain this, Eliyahu HaNavi in Shemayim knew about that there was a gzeira. He knew the moment that the gzeira was enacted. So Eliyahu tried to enlist the help of the Avos in order to daven on behalf of Klai Yisrael. The Avos didn't want to, because the Averis of Nishtach Letzelem and Nanim Zidosh Rachel, it was too severe. They said, sorry, we're not helping. So who did Eliyahu finally turn to? Who was the greatest advocate ever in Jewish history? Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu got the Jews off the hook on some very serious counts. He was the greatest defense attorney ever the Jews ever had. So Moshe said like this, in that generation, is there any Gevaldik Tzadik? Eliyahu says, yes, Mordechai. Okay, Eliyahu, here's what you have to do. Go tell Mordechai about the Gzera, that's how Mordechai knew, and tell him that he has to go on a campaign of very intense davening, tshuva, and tefillah, and fasting. And when the time comes, I will appear before the Kisi HaKavai. And then, when the tefillos of Mordechai and the rest of the Jews are having effect, that's when I'll try to intercede on behalf of the Jewish people. We'll take that up more later. Meanwhile, Mordechai, he hears about this gzeira. He goes out on the street, and Haman is also coming onto the street. He's just finished sending out his messengers, and he sees Mordechai, and he's snickering, as the evil man he is. and he notices Mordechai is running after three cheder yingel. Haman's curious. He runs after Mordechai. What does Mordechai want with these three kids? Mordechai tells these three children, we know that a child, if you ask him about a pasuk that he learned that day in cheder, it's as a shtickle, din of a nevuah. Mordechai asked each of the three children, tell me a pasuk that you learned in cheder. The first child tells him the pasuk, Al tira mi pachad pisayim, u'mishayis u'sham ki tavai. Don't be afraid about any sudden attacks. The second child said the pasuk, Utsu etzu v'sufar, Babu dover v'loyakum ki manukel. That they tried to make a scheme, a plot, but Hashem foiled their plot. And the third one told him a pasuk, V'adzikna anihu, V'adseva aniesvoil, Aniasisi v'aniasav, Aniesvoil v'amalek. Even until old age, I will be Saivu them, and I will rescue the Jews. So we have to understand Pashup Shat in that third pasuk, because Hashem is old. When does Hashem ever get old? The Medrash continues, when Mordechai heard those three psukim, he was overjoyed. And Haman said to Mordechai, what's this business? What are you so happy about? Mordechai said, I just found out I have nothing to fear from your gzeirah. Haman says, he was so angry. He said, really? When the time comes, I'm not going to take those kids and slaughter them first. Obviously, it's a Medrash Pliya. What in the world is going on? These three psukim, it's brought down in the name of the Vilna Gaon. These three psukim are merames. This is how Mordechai understood, the three major encounters in which Amalek tried to destroy Klal Yisrael. The first time is in Parshas B'Shalach. Amalek mounted a surprise attack against the Jews. And, as we know, Yoshua fought them and was victorious. That's the first pasuk, Valtira Pachad Pisayim, sudden attacks. The second one is in Parshas Chukas. Haknani, Melech Arod, attack Klal Yisrael, Rashi brings from the Chazal, that wasn't the Canaanim, that was Amalek, who disguised themselves as Canaanim. Why? They knew that the Jews, their koyach is in tefillah, the Jews will dive in, Hashem save me from the Canaanim. It's not going to work, they're not Canaanim, they're Amalekim. But Klal Yisrael realized, the way Rashi says over the Ol HaTorah, that even though they were speaking a language of Canaanim, but the clothing was Amalekish. They were wearing the Amalekish fashions. So the Jews realized something was amiss. So they davened, Hashem save me from this nation. They didn't specify. And that tactic worked, and they were successful. What's the third pasuk? Haman, when he was trying to elicit world support, first he was trying to get Achashverosh, talking Achashverosh, and Achashverosh said, Haman, you have to talk to all the representatives of all the nations of the world and see if you can convince them. Haman tells them about his plans, and they refuse to cooperate. Haman, you're a dummy. Every person who has ever started up with the Jews has faced annihilation. Paro, Sisera, you're not going to be successful. You know what Haman answered to that? Haman said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chasam, he's old. You know how I know this? Because not too long ago there was a Churban Beis HaMikdash. Nebuchadnezzar was able to exile the Jews. He wasn't, and Hashem was not able to defend the Jews against him. Apparently Hashem's strength has waned, and therefore you won't have anything to worry about. And when the Goyim heard that, they were convinced. So that's why the third pasuk is Keneged Haman. Va'ad zikna anihu. What's that zikna? Even at a time when they'll call me old, I'm still going to defend Klal Yisrael. That's why Mordechai was ecstatic. He realized, Kishem and Hashem saved Klal Yisrael. Those first two times, the third pasuk of Meramesh, and he's going to save them from Haman. And Haman says, yeah, I'm going to kill those kids. That we'll see later that Haman had an intuition that those kids are going to be his undoing. As we'll stop here.